Okay, so the final phase is the closing arguments, and again, we call on the appellants to give their summary or whatever else they want to do as a close. The time is 8:40. You have the floor.
This is Robert speaking for both the appellants. In our closing statement, we hold that the bylaws, as written, still require that the executive committee follow the five elements of fair disciplinary process to suspend a member. Section 5 of the bylaws only give the executive committee the authority to suspend. Section 6, a wholly distinct section within the membership bylaws, allows a suspended member the right to appeal their suspension to the judicial committee. The judicial committee may choose to terminate or restore a membership, or they may choose not even to hear it if they don't receive two votes to hear it. Section 6 affords a suspended member simply a second look at their suspension. It is not correct to assume Section 6 is where fair disciplinary process of a member begins. Article 9 of RONAR, and by the way, Article 9 is what describes how bylaws are to be interpreted, clarifies that a partial privilege, the right for the executive committee to suspend, does not prohibit the greater privilege afforded to the party and its members to a fair disciplinary process. That being, just because the executive committee are allowed to suspend a member, in addition to the assembly, that does not remove the requirement to follow the five elements described in Chapter 20. Further, the respondents never spoke to a standing order on file since 1989, which explains how the executive committee is to follow Bylaw 5, Section 5. And they didn't explain why they didn't follow it. A process does in fact exist that couples with this bylaw, and they clearly stated that they did not follow it, most likely because they didn't know it existed either. The respondent also wants to have it both ways. They agree that matters need to be secret as per Chapter 20, and disciplinary action could be incurred if secrecy is broken. But they also say our bylaws 100% remove Chapter 20 in its entirety. It simply cannot be both. The Judicial Committee agrees that Section 5 and 6 are enough to prove due process. They are also agreeing that the Executive Committee can suspend a member at any time without due process. This includes days before a county, state, or national convention. We do not believe anyone who designed these bylaws as libertarians meant for that to be an acceptable situation for a party with values in which this one holds. In addition, we do want to clarify, while the respondent did say hearing and trial are the same thing, we do not believe this to be true. Hearings are used to determine procedural matters. Trial is where parties present evidence and arguments for the judge to use in making final decisions. Unless we redefine the term hearing, or unless RONAR redefines the term hearing to be interchangeable with trial, they simply are not one and the same. It is the absolute responsibility of the Judicial Committee during the appeal process to weigh whether an inaction by the Executive Committee resulted in a bylaw being improperly used. The Executive Committee's inaction was failure to execute a fair disciplinary process when they attempted to apply a suspension per the bylaws under the rights which they hold and allow due process which members are afforded. The plaintiffs ask at this time that the Judicial Committee agree and restore their membership to the Libertarian Party of California in good standing. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Does Jennifer have a statement, or is that, does that speak for both of you?
No, that'll be sufficient for our five.
Okay, then let's have appellant, respondent.
Okay, so I'm going to start with, I think that everything that the respondents have given you gives all of the information that we feel is relevant. I will speak to two points, or, well, maybe more than two, that was just brought up. The one thing is that the appellants just said that Section 6 does not afford them the absolute right for a hearing. It does. The bylaws under the Judicial Committee do give the Judicial Committee the option to not hear an appeal. And it takes two members. And the respondents initially ask that the Judicial Committee not hear this case, this particular case, because the appellants had no standing. They could have actually refused to hear this case, which they didn't, which is fine. I'm not going to argue that. But what I will say is Bylaw 5, Section 6, does not give the Judicial Committee any kind of leeway with that. It says they shall hear the case. Any person that has had their membership suspended under Bylaw 5, Section 5, has the right to a hearing under Bylaw 5, Section 6. The word shall is used there. So it isn't the characteristic that was just made. Article 9 that was just discussed, that completely has nothing to do with this, because that simply speaks to the fact that in certain bylaws, there are provisions that are given, and it can have these different authorities. If you look at the full context, which I provided in my response today, it shows that that really has nothing to do with this. So I'm not going to go any further with that. As far as the final point, which is the information that Gail Lightfoot provided in the last 2 days, maybe that would have been great to know. Maybe that the 14 days would have been good. We had no idea that existed. And I'll speak further to that to say that there are times where, as in this particular instance, a issue was brought to the chair of the party, and then by that to the OPSCOM, and then to the EC, that was fairly important. This had something to do with affecting the organization, affecting the way that the organization could be viewed to outside donors. And this is very important. And I think that those types of situations should be able to be handled quickly to ensure that the party is able to uphold what the party is about, which is that we are the party of principle. And I'm just going to, this may be maybe outside the bounds of this, but I would imagine that the Republicans and the Democrats at one point really were principles. And as soon as they started... And I believe that what the executive committee looked at was the fact that we do not want to be that. We are the party of principle. So in this particular case, as much notification as possible was given to the appellants based upon when the party found out about these allegations, and they were invited in to give their defense. And I will affirm again that based upon the information that Josh Smith gave in his email, as in addition to what was said in executive session, it was very clear what this issue involved. So I have no personal grudge or personal investment in any of this. I personally am here as chair. The reason I ran as chair is to grow the party and get people elected. What we're doing right now is wasting a lot of our time for things that we shouldn't have to. But we are, because it's now being said that we're not giving due process and we're not the party of principle. I believe that what we did was in fact principled. I believe that what the executive committee decided was based upon the evidence, which we can't get into. And I believe that the judicial committee, as charged by our bylaws, should only look at our rules. And our rules are very clear. And the appellants have every opportunity to appeal the suspension. And the judicial committee at that point has every opportunity to either uphold or, meaning, terminate and or not uphold and reinstate the membership. And that's not where we're at right now, because instead we're going into the weeds of RONAR, which is what the appellants have brought to us. I'm done with my statement. I believe that there's probably still additional time here, so I would like to give the opportunity to any other member of the executive committee who is part of this action to be able to speak on this.
Somebody sounds like somebody's got an airplane in their background or something.
I hear that too, and it's not me. Is there any other member of the executive committee that would like to speak on this issue of closing arguments?
I think I would like to. I'm not sure if I'm the airplane, though. Can you hear me okay?
I hear you fine.
Okay. I would just like to say that I would request this judicial committee in their decision-making process to consider
is this Joshua?
No, that's Chuck.
This is Chuck Hamm.
Okay, Chuck. All right.
All right, I'd like to request the Judicial Committee consider the importance of the four-cause standard, because that's really what's being attacked here. We have a bylaw that allows the Executive Committee to four-cause suspend membership, and it's a low standard. It is, from a legal perspective, as long as there's any legitimate or substantial evidence supporting this cause, or in other words, as long as we can articulate why we suspended, then that constitutes cause and that is sufficient. And what this judicial committee might be poised to do here is attack that cause standard by overturning on procedural grounds what the executive committee did in order to protect the organization. And I think it's a dangerous precedent to set, because there have been times, as Mimi has demonstrated in the past, where we needed that four-cause standard and we needed to get something done quickly, make some decisions that were designed to protect the party. And I think this kind of precedent, if that's what the Judicial Committee ends up considering, could hamstring the party and cause us to slide backwards in some ways. And consider also that many other organizations use the same, in fact, all organizations, employers, businesses, before they terminate an employee, for example, they use the four-cause standard. Some don't even have a four-cause standard. It's an at-will termination, or it's a no-cause termination, I should say. Here we have a cause standard, and it gave the plaintiffs here some notice, and they have the chance to follow through to the second step to challenge the cause suspension. So I think the cause standard is very helpful to us, and it will be in the future, and I hope the Judicial Committee will consider that. That's all.
Okay, Mimi, do you have any more people who want to contribute to your...
I do not know. Is there any other parties on this call of the executive committee that would like to add anything further? Because this is, in fact, a issue against the executive committee.
Hi, I'll say something for a moment. Can everybody hear me okay?
Zoomer.
Hello, everybody there?
Yes, yeah.
I hear
you. Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay, great, perfect. Hi. Good evening. Thank you, Judicial Committee, for considering the effects before you. I believe that the process, I've seen a couple of executive sessions, and I've also been a party to previous suspensions of membership in the party. Fortunately, I am not a big fan of suspension. Personally, I did not vote for this. I voted no, I should say. I voted no. But the process that's in front of you is solid, as I am to understand it. This is a similar process to what I've seen in the past. I think that hearing the merits is a different discussion, but for the considerations that you have before you, I believe that the party acted appropriately, although I disagree with the outcome. I just want to let you guys know, I would prefer that we talked about the merits of the situation than what we have here in front of us. But it was not my choice to put the argument together. But in closing, I think that, you know, the party acted as appropriately as they could have, considering it is my understanding that the IHOPs had as prepared as they came to the executive session. I do not recall personally handing them a piece of paper of the evidence. I cannot say whether they had it or not, but the discussion that was held in the executive session certainly was pertinent to the charges that were placed against them. So, you know, I think the party is in the right here. I hope that you guys will uphold the position that the process is correct, that we can get to the merits where I think there's a much stronger case. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mimi, do you have anybody else?
Don't know. Is there anybody else on the executive committee that wants to add anything? I don't know how much time we have left, but
I think you have some time. I think you have some time.
Okay.
I haven't added it up exactly.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, okay. I'd just like to, this is Joshua Smith. I'd just like to echo what Boomer said. I look forward to arguing the merits of the actual allegations as opposed to the party process, because the party process was upheld. None of us have any authority to overstep the bylaws, and we handled it by the bylaws. And so, I just basically echo what Boomer said. It's, you know, it was handled correctly. I saw it with my own eyes, and I hope that we can move on and discuss the merits. Thank you very much.
Anybody else?
Is there anybody else on the executive committee that would like to chime in on this?
Yeah, this is Treasurer. I think we followed all the rules correctly and gave fair notice so that everyone knew what this was about when we got into the meeting. I don't know how you could find that we did anything improper in terms of procedure. I really think the appeal should have been on the merit, and that's the only thing I believe we should be discussing. I don't understand. I'm not a parliamentarian, so this whole appeal process to me made no sense on attacking the process, because I think we were being very fair, inviting people in to hear their side. I personally wouldn't have voted at all had we not been able to hear both sides of the argument. So I wish we could have a vote or a hearing on the merits of the case, because that's what we should be discussing and not this. And that's all I have to say.
Now, this is Paul Valland again. That was Steve Haug.
Okay, thank you.
This is Paul Valland again. I basically echo what Steve just said. It seems to me pretty clear that we follow the rules, and if the members in question want to appeal the suspension, let's just get on with it. And that's all I get to say.
This is Brent Olson. I would echo the same things that have already been said. I think that we clearly followed the rules that were in place, and I think that the important thing to consider is the merit and of cause, and I think that that's what would judiciously be looked at by the judicial committee to determine whether the outcome was correct or not. I think looking at the procedure itself without looking at the merits is problematic, because if we did make the correct decision and harm could be brought to the party by bringing their membership back into good standing, then I think that would be a huge mistake if they don't look at the merit, or if the judicial committee does not look at the merit.
So I have been looking at the time now, and you are approaching the limit. I mean, not at it quite, but you are. my count, you've got
okay,
eight.
So then the question is there anybody else on the executive committee who are a party to this action that would like to speak on behalf of the respondents?
Yeah, this is Rick Dawson. Can everybody hear me okay?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, while I was not a fan of the decision that we had to make, I can say that the party acted in good faith. The process was followed. The process was enacted in good faith. And I would urge the Judicial Committee to, as I piggyback off of what Brent said, I would urge the committee to base any appeal off the merits of the decision, not the process of the decision, because the process was followed in good faith. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else on behalf of the EC? Okay, I'm not hearing anybody else.
All right, sounds like we're done with that.
In that case, I'm just going to piggyback off of everybody else. I believe that we did follow the process and procedures that are provided in our bylaws, and I would urge the Judicial Committee to look at those merits, look at the merits of this particular appeal, and let us get on to the next portion, because the next portion will be gotten to one way or the other. And that's all I'm going to say on that. And we are done as far as the respondents.
Okay, I have 9:01. I don't see any other business on our agenda, so I want to thank everybody for your time, I would say that the meeting is adjourned.
And I just want to say, Joe, thank you so much for setting this up and making sure you're recording it and getting us all to log in a professional manner, and I'm really impressed with this, so thank you very much.
Okay.
I'd also like to chime in to say, I want to thank the Judicial Committee for their work. I know we're all volunteers. I know, you know, like Susan Marie said, we all get paid the big bucks, right? But
yeah,
like not. But
should we compare our paychecks?
Yeah, exactly.
So thank you guys so much. I really appreciate that you've taken the time for this. And I think that everything that needed to be said was said, so thank you for giving the opportunity.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Joe.
All right, we are adjourned.